Good evening, everyone. Dr. Darnell, thank you for your nice comment about the music. In case there are new people here and not aware that starting around about 30 minutes before we go live, we play some musical selections just to kind of run it in the background while we're getting ready to get together again. So thank you, Dr. Darnell, who has been a friend here for must be 5 years, 6 years, I would say. And it's always great to see you in band again, as well as everyone else. Doug, let me know if the connection is good through our super secret messaging system. I always like to kid around about that. It's nothing secret here, nothing at all. Just a guy sitting in front of a camera. Anyway, Patch Airlines, again, for new people, what does that mean? That's just kind of our running joke that we like to see the big picture from 144,000 foot cruising altitude, and then we drill down from there into the deeper technical details. Tonight, we will not do a technical deep dive. We are just going to talk about some news items that have come across that do have an impact on our everyday walk or our ability to fly. Okay? Thank you, Doug. I'm glad to see that everything is working on the technical side. So with that, we will begin with my hearty thanks to everyone for your prayers. We had a fire at the mill here in town. The fire station is a quarter of a mile from our home here. And so typically I'm the first one to the firehouse and I open up the doors and get the lights on and get the trucks unplugged and get everybody ready. And then we'll get a second firefighter on the apparatus, whichever one we need to take first, and off we go. So last night, Dave and I took off down to the mill. We were first on scene. It was pouring rain, which was great. What we thought was initially steam turned out to be smoke, but in the heavy downpour, it was difficult to tell because the mill often does have discharges of steam from their equipment. But as we were able to bring the engine from the street side back into the back of the mill, which is a very large complex of modern and very old wooden construction buildings in the back, but more modern steel buildings in the front, we found one of the old buildings was actually burning. And so I called it in, and we called in extra engines from two other towns, got everybody set up, and as Dave was setting up the pump on the engine so we could flow some water, I pulled one of our hose lines off the engine and took it in through the doorway into the area where the fire was emanating from, the source, the seat of the fire. About the time I got it fully stretched into the building and we were ready to flow some water, we had a second engine, which had our deputy chief driving, arrive, and so he proceeded down a flight of stairs down into the basement area of the building that was burning, and then came back up and reported where he found the source of the fire. By that point, we had many more engines and many more people on scene, and so we had teams, two entry teams, set up with their air bottles, their air packs, so that they could get in and actually start fighting. I'm too old to get certified to put on an air pack and a mask and go into a building and do an interior attack. So that wasn't my role at that point. Much younger guys were able to do that. So in about an hour's time, they were able to knock down the majority of the fire that had started from an overheated conveyor belt system that takes a log into a building where it's rotated. It's called a debarking operation, and then it's ejected on another conveyor system out the opposite side of the building. Well, it turned out that They ran only a day shift. This was after 7 o'clock last night, Eastern time. And someone, when they went home for the night, left one of the conveyor belt systems running. And no one there to manage and oversee it, overheated. The security camera footage we were able to look at later showed where the fire started, how it started, and then literally it exploded inside the building. Sprinkler system was there that protected the majority of the remaining buildings, but could not get into the hot spots between the walls and down into the deep crevices where, of course, there's a lot of sawdust and tree bark that accumulates down below this operation. So that had to be dealt with in our overhaul operation. We arrived a little after 7 and we left the mill at about midnight. Got back to the station, cleaned up all of our equipment, our hoses, repacked, got everything reset in case we got another call. And we all got home about 1:30 in the morning. So your prayers resulted in everybody's safety. A clockwork operation. The chief asked me, he said, well, what'd you think? Because I'm relatively new on the department. So what'd you think about this operation? I said, it was like clockwork. I mean, everybody knew what they were doing and they did it, and we did it very efficiently and very safely, and we got home in a reasonable amount of time. So your prayers really covered us, and it was evident. And had that fire extended into the greater portion of the mill would have been lost. The sprinkler system is substantial, but in a structure like that, with that amount of fuel load, it's virtually impossible to prevent a structure from completely burning to the ground. And so we felt very good about preserving the primary source of business and income for this small town of 900 people. And as I said in my posting in BAN and on Subscribestar, I am honored to work with these individuals, both men and women. We had 2 female firefighters on scene, one from our department, one from an adjoining town. And they did a great job, just like anybody else. They put on their packs and put on their masks and they went into the building and fought the fire. So a very dedicated group of volunteers. They take it seriously and they take their training seriously, and they are well respected in our region. This is called the Lakes Region, the area in which we and many other departments operate. And very well respected group of people. I'll give you some perspective. I know some of you are firefighters out there. For other towns surrounding us, which are on average about the same size as ours, typically that type of structure and that fire would have required a first alarm to be triggered, and then a second alarm to be triggered. Now, I know that Kathleen had posted in BAN that it went to a second alarm last night, which technically, on paper, it did. But we didn't officially call for a second alarm. We had enough people on scene that we personally sort of invited to the operation. But most departments around here would go to a third alarm for what we were dealing with last night. With, I think we had 7 pieces of apparatus and maybe, quick count in my head, maybe 15, 16 firefighters, would normally require a third alarm to take care of what we were able to take care of. But it's because the group of firefighters are very familiar with each other, cross-trained together, go on a lot of calls together. So when that happens and they consistently respond, you see, we have huge manpower shortages across the United States, but also here in our area, we just cannot get enough volunteers. So in order to get enough physical bodies on scene, not so much apparatus, but to get physical bodies on scene, you have to go to a third alarm, because you may only get four or five people from any given fire department. So anyway, long story short, that's just a little background as to what we're involved in here and what we face. But we are very fortunate. We have three groups of firefighters from three towns that work together and consistently respond to the calls. And so that gives us a good idea going into a structure fire, how many people we can count on to actually show up to the fire. And as I said, when the pager went off, for our department, our chief's direction is, it doesn't matter if it's just a fire alarm going off. We've had many false alarms at the mill. It's an older mill, so that happens. But he said, take every one of them serious, and I want every one of you that is able to drop what you're doing and come to the mill. That's his orders, standing orders. That's what I had to do last night. Turns out it was a very good order, operational order, that everybody does, because we had virtually everybody on our fire department there. So, anyway, we have lots of other things to talk about here tonight. But if I disappear in the middle of a live stream, it's for legitimate reasons. We're not playing games here. We have very few resources. So when the call goes out, we go. All right. Tonight's live stream, as was the intended title for last night's live stream, is A New Creation. We're not so much going to be talking about Homo Novus, as in the sense of a new creation, the new man, as we as a new creation under salvation. From that perspective, let's go through our scriptures for tonight. And unfortunately, I didn't take that down while I was talking. I was looking at the wrong side of my two screen image here. But anyway, you guys don't need to see me, but I'll put the scriptures back up now that I'm going to reference them. There we go. Live television, nothing like it. There we are. Let's begin with 2 Corinthians 5:17, and then we will go to Luke 21, verses 32 and 33 to look at new creation, what that means. Okay, get all these pop-up ads out of the way. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. So the old has passed away. Our old form, how we were, upon the sacrifice of Jesus Christ himself, our old self is washed clean. And we've said many times that the DNA's changed. This is what we're referring to. Now, some may not agree with that interpretation, but I think when we take into account what we have presented spiritually and technically over the years here. We have to look at the biology. We have to look at the technology as we interpret the living Word of God. We have to take into account that DNA is a factor in creating us as a new person. My longtime interpretation of this scripture always has been, you know, the common interpretation, and that's absolving us of our sins, absolving us of our sins, and that they are no longer recorded by God. They're not no longer taken into account. This is the reconciliation that we are washed clean. But I do think we have to take into account that God is increasing our knowledge. That includes technology. And therefore, with that new knowledge of the modern era, which is now the last days, the last generation, we need to take into account what is prevalent in this last generation. And that is that technology has overwhelmed humanity. Technology is controlling humanity like it has never been capable of doing before. And therefore, humanity is at its greatest risk. Therefore, to not take into account technology in the interpretation, the modern interpretation of ancient scripture, would be denying the process of the increase in knowledge that we are all, through the grace of God, benefiting from. The DNA is changed upon salvation. Our name is changed. If you will, we are returned to our original state, our original name, before the fall of mankind. Remember, God knew us before we were created. Physically created. Therefore, our names were written in the book of life. It can be erased through a free will decision, which is to take the mark of the beast. I believe that this is the salvation is the restoration of our soul, our spirit, and our DNA. Yes, we still struggle in our physical form. We still struggle with sin. But our DNA is changed back to its original design when God created us. We are a new creation, apart from the world. Satan's counterfeit of that is the homo novus creation, the alteration of the DNA to the pattern of his design. We have been returned to the pattern of God's design. It's always a mirror with Satan. What God is doing, what God is planning on doing, what God will accomplish, Satan is attempting to mirror that. He has no other game plan to work off of. He does not operate outside of God's plan, outside of God's purview, outside of God's control. In his hubris, he likes to think that he is, thinks that he's capable, but that's his own self-delusional state that he operates in. And the world has made their choice who they are going to align themselves to. And that is the world. That is man. That is therefore Satan. And so God, because he has given humanity for thousands of years every opportunity, man consistently in greater and greater numbers turns its back on its creator. And therefore he has given man in this final solution scenario, the one last chance to choose correctly, and humanity by a broad margin vast margin, has chosen incorrectly. They've already taken the mark of the beast, and they will continue to increase in numbers in taking the mark of the beast. And therefore, because this is the last generation, he gives the last generation over to the strong delusion upon their decision to take the mark of the beast. Now, there's been a lot of discussion about, does someone know that it's the mark of the beast? Someone doesn't know, accountability, if they don't know, do they understand the technology? Do they understand the biology? All of these things, that all has to be set aside in making this a very simple, understandable concept. Either you are turning to God, seeking salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ, receiving that salvation, having your DNA changed, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit into the temple of the Holy Spirit, such that you are now communicating directly with the Lord through prayer and receiving guidance through the Holy Spirit, that when you are presented something like the genetic modifier vaccines, the Holy Spirit tells you, there is the discernment. No, do not take it. And upon that, begin to examine on your own. Remember, be a good Berean. Search the scriptures, and we've shown you plenty of scriptures in the modern day context of the interpretation of the scriptures, that the scriptures reveal cautionary notes, prohibitions, commandments, not to put your faith in man, not to put your faith in the world. See, this is what it boils down to. Who are you placing your faith in? Science, man, the world, or in God through prayer, beginning with salvation, then the gifting of that discernment. That's how it works. So it comes down to, are you turning to Jesus Christ first or not? Even prior to the pandemic, did you turn to Jesus Christ first in your life? See, that's what it boils down to. And if a person has not been saved, then the pandemic rolls out. Look what results. Therefore, they are taking the mark of the beast, whether they know that it changes the DNA or not, whether they understand the biology or not. They're believing the spokespersons, if you will, in science, in their political leadership, in their pastors, in their preachers, in their church leaders, in their doctors. You see, these are all man as a category. They're listening to man. They're not listening to God. That's where they go wrong. The end result is they're given bad direction, bad guidance, bad commandments, as many pastors have commanded their congregations, and the congregation peer group pressure applies as well. Putting your faith in man, that's where they've gone wrong. So they cannot use the justification of, I didn't know. I didn't know the technology. I didn't know the biology. I didn't know, I didn't know, I didn't know. So I should be absolved from knowing that this is the mark of the beast. And the mark of the beast is the changing of the DNA, which is the point of creation of all of us. It's always been about the DNA. Look at the twins that were birthed by Eve. One had the DNA of God, one had the DNA of Satan. It's always been about DNA. why would it not be about the DNA with respect to the last generation, its choices, and the mark of the beast actually being the DNA itself? Why would it be otherwise? This is the way it was from the time of creation. And now, because God saw the situation humanity was in, and God knew from the beginning to the end, the Alpha and the Omega, it's always been about the DNA, and the only way to truly save His creation was to change their DNA back to the original design. And that could only be done by the shedding of DNA by Jesus Christ. Let us take a look at Luke 21, 32 to 33. So also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have happened. Remember how many times I've stressed the word all, that all means all? Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But watch yourselves, or your hearts will be weighed down by dissipation, drunkenness, and the worries of life, and that day will spring upon you suddenly like a snare. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of all the earth. So keep watch at all times, and pray that you may have the strength to escape all that is about to happen, to stand before the Son of Man. God has made it plainly simple. The churches have made it complicated. The churches are a construct of man, not of Jesus Christ when He came here in human form. He never founded a church. He never commanded a church to be created as an organization and a building or buildings. No. You ever read anything in the Bible that says there will be a pope and you are to follow what the pope tells you to do because the pope is the intermediary between us and Jesus Christ, or the intermediary between us and God? I don't see that in the Bible. We don't put our faith in any man, pope or otherwise, but the world will put their faith in a man, the Antichrist. Anti being the mirror of Jesus Christ. Again, it's the only plan that Satan has that he can follow. He's not that creative, and he's not that smart, and he's certainly not that powerful. And this is what he has been obfuscating from humanity since the time of creation. The power, the understanding, remember the knowledge. He does not want the new creation, the saved creation, certainly since the advent of Jesus Christ, certainly does not want humanity to know the power that they actually have once they're saved. He does not want them to know that their DNA has been changed by the shedding of the DNA of Jesus Christ. He does not want humanity to understand, even from a molecular, biological perspective, what that means. And he certainly does not want humanity to know that the mark of the beast is the DNA. Satan is a liar. And under that heading, he can obfuscate everything. Let's get down to our everyday walk of life. What is impacting us? All of what we talk about absolutely impacts us every day. Sometimes we just don't realize that it is. But here's something that's coming here in the United States beginning May 3rd of 2023. Every air traveler, that's why I have my t-shirt on, Patch Airlines, every air traveler 18 years or of age or older will need a real ID compliant driver's license or state issued enhanced driver's license or another acceptable form of ID to fly within the United States. I'm reading from TSA's website, Transportation Security Administration. Check for the star. Where have we seen that in history? Check for the star, right? A gold star, which could be interpreted as a yellow star. Real ID compliant cards are marked with a star at the top of the card. If you're not sure, contact your state driver's license agency on how to obtain a real ID compliant card. Now, there is an enhanced driver's license, but let's start with the real ID. Let's keep this very straightforward. Real ID means if you within the continental United States, if you want to fly from state to state, domestic air travel, just talking air travel. Right now, they're not talking about driving or taking a train or taking a bus or riding your bicycle across a state line or even walking. They're talking about flying across state lines. You have to have a real ID driver's license by May of 2023. I'm going to share with you what are the components of obtaining that driver's license. But just that restriction, what does the Constitution say? The pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness. Paraphrasing, what is liberty? Under the constitutional interpretation of liberty is the freedom of movement within the United States, as a citizen, freedom of movement. Certainly there are going to be laws governing that movement, like how you drive your automobile and being licensed to drive it and all those good things and have automobile insurance. We get it, that's modern society. But the ability to freely move in the United States is something we have taken for granted. We've never had restrictions to crossing state lines here in the United States. There are certain things like you cannot carry produce or other things across state lines that are protecting agriculture and the environment and things like that, but you could still move freely across state lines. But that's changing. That's changing next year. It's already changed. You can go out and obtain right now a real ID driver's license so that you don't get jammed up in 2023 with everybody that's procrastinating to get it. So this is the law on the books passed by Congress in 2005. The Real ID Act enacted the 9/11 Commission's recommendation that the federal government, quote, set standards for the issuance of sources of identification such as a driver's license, end quote. The Act and implementing regulations establish the Act and implementing regulations establish minimum security standards for state-issued driver's licenses and identification cards and prohibit federal agencies like TSA from accepting licenses and identification cards from states that do not meet these standards for official purposes, such as getting through the airport security checkpoint to board a plane. Okay? So if you want to fly, that's what you got to do. Acceptable forms of identification, such as a valid passport or U.S. military ID, will allow you to fly, okay? Passport or military ID. So you can use those as alternatives, but most people don't have those. Okay, let's see. Frequently asked questions. How do I get a real ID? Check with your local Department of Motor Vehicles. You have to go in person, present your documentation to verify who you are in order to get your real ID. So, what is that documentation? Let me go down through the questions here. Just from memory, I'll read it as I find it here, but you need to bring in a certified copy of your birth certificate. So there's going to be a run on county offices, so do this early. If you don't have, not a photocopy, but a certified and embossed photocopy or photostat, old technology, certified copy, stamped and sealed by the county clerk of your birth certificate, you will not get a real ID driver's license. Okay? So again, how do I get a real ID? You have to go to your local DMV. There may be some slight differences as to what documentation. In my state of New Hampshire, we need to bring in something that verifies our place of residence, such as a utility bill, say an electric bill, that has my name and my address on it. That's acceptable to prove my place of residence. See, I'll have my birth certificate, which I do have, and I will have a utility bill. So I'm showing who I am, and I'm showing where I live. And that's all I need in New Hampshire, and I'll get a real ID. And I'm going to do that because my driver's license is up for renewal in a couple of months anyway, so I'm going to do this all at the same time. And on my driver's license, it will have a gold star at the top of it. I will be marked. Is that the mark of the beast? No. But they use the word mark. Real ID compliant cards are marked with a star. Isn't that fascinating? Now, what about the enhanced driver's license? And remember, this was passed by Congress in 2005. So no state is off the hook here. No U.S. citizen is off the hook. And dare I say, an undocumented person, to be politically sensitive, they're not off the hook. But a lot of them, as you are well aware, drive around and they don't even have a driver's license today. Talk about undocumented. So there are going to be several million people running around in this country who are not even going to bother with this process. Well, they won't be flying, hopefully. But they'll be driving around without a driver's license, and the driver's license, if it is not a real ID compliant, it's not a valid driver's license. You see, you can't opt out of this. Every person in the country, 18 or older, well, whether you plan on flying or not, you may be staying at home all the time. But as of May 3rd of next year, you have to have this form of ID. Now, there's moving from real ID to enhanced. So far, according to TSA, Michigan, Vermont, and Minnesota, and New York states issue real IDs and state-issued enhanced driver's licenses, okay? Washington state issues only the enhanced driver's license, only. State-issued enhanced driver's licenses are marked with a flag. Oh, isn't that sweet? These documents will be accepted at the airport security checkpoint when the real ID enforcement goes into effect. So, you can move from a real ID and enhance it, go up to the enhanced driver's license. Yes?
I just wanted to correct the date. It's May 23rd of next year.
On TSA's site, it says May 3rd. Of 2023.
Well, and something I was reading and I have on my screen from New Hampshire is saying May 23rd, so something is off there. But nonetheless, it's May of 2023. Yep. The other thing I wanted to just mention, though, is that if you decide to keep your regular license without the star and not go for the real ID, you can still drive until your license expires, but you will not be able to board any you can't go into any federal buildings, you can't travel. They will not accept your regular license as proof of identification. You can still drive with it, however. So the real ID will grant you access to be able to fly domestically. And then the enhanced, as you're getting ready to go into, will actually act as a passport between Canada and Mexico. For the enhanced, and it's like $30 more to get the enhanced, and then obviously the biometrics that you're going to talk about next. So that's the difference. You don't have to, in 2023, surrender your current license without a star. It's only going to be good to drive, however, and you will not be able to fly without getting the other one, the next step up, which is the real ID, and then like the gold star, for lack of a better term, is the enhanced ID. But
not to confuse anyone, again, the enhanced has the star, the enhanced has the flag, the real ID has a star. Okay, so why get an enhanced? Well, you can use that instead of a passport, as Kathleen said, if you want to go to Canada or you want to go to Mexico. You can use an enhanced, you can freely move about without a passport. Okay, so I guess that's more convenient. You just pay $30 more, as Kathleen said, to obtain the enhanced driver's license. If you don't plan on crossing the international border between Canada or Mexico, then you don't need the enhanced driver's license. So this is setting a trend, setting a pattern, and where is this taking us? Because this may not be relevant because you're not planning on traveling anywhere. As I'll reinforce Kathleen saying, just in case you didn't hear it, you can continue to use your standard driver's license to drive up until the point that it expires. So let's say it expires in June of next year. That's after May. Well, in June, you can still drive up until the date of expiration, or if it expires in July, you can drive until July in 2023. You just cannot get on an aircraft at an airport, okay? But where's this heading? That's pretty obvious to this group of people. At some point, this will, even though they don't state it on TSA or any of the state websites, you know this is going to require proof of vaccination for COVID at some point. It'll probably happen in 2023 if the reset doesn't happen between now and then. It's been my expectation that the reset will happen before then. So this may just be a moot point, because post reset, we're under the Antichrist. And then the mark of the beast. Forget about driver's licenses at that point of any type, or passports. The only ID that will be acceptable will be the mark of the beast ID. But this is all infrastructure that is incrementally moving us in that direction of a universal identifier around the world. So let's take a look internationally as an example. Of where this is headed. We are going to Africa, specifically to Uganda. This is on the website of RARE Foundation, R-A-I-R, RARE Foundation. This is Rise, Align, Ignite and Reclaim is what RARE stands for. They are letting us know that Uganda's military demands citizens' DNA for digital identity rollout. This is dated August 8th of this year. According to reports, 4.5 million Ugandans have been unable to obtain national digital ID cards rolled out in 2014, despite the program being over 8 years old. According to human rights advocates, Ugandan citizens without digital IDs are denied essential public and private services. For example, pregnant women without a digital ID have been turned away from hospitals at the time of childbirth. So they go on and they explain this, but again, keeping this simple, this is where it's going. This is beyond biometrics, facial recognition. This is beyond fingerprints. This is right to the DNA. It has always been about the DNA, and it will continue to always be that way. That is the only form of ID that is acceptable. And in the coming Antichrist government, because your DNA will be analyzed as to whether it has undergone genetic modification by way of the genetic modifiers, which are the vaccines, beginning with the very first injection. This proves that the DNA is the mark of the beast. It doesn't have to be a grain of rice sized coil of copper wire antenna injected into the webbing of the hand. Old technology. Doesn't have to be a tattooed barcode or any other tattooed form of a mark. Doesn't even have to be a visible mark, because it won't be visible. Okay? But the poor people in Uganda are the guinea pigs. Africa, as you well know, look at the activities of the Gates Foundation within Africa. Testing of all sorts of vaccines and curatives and therapeutics and preventatives. They've been the guinea pigs for the world. But this gives us an expectation. It gives us a glimpse as to where the Antichrist is going to take the entire world. This is testing the infrastructure of the Antichrist. This shows us this is the last generation. So now we have the United States saying that you're going to have a real ID or an enhanced ID. What's to prevent them from saying, the only acceptable documentation is your DNA. Forget about your birth certificate. Forget about your utility bill. Forget about any of that. The only way that the government is going to say you have an acceptable form of proof of who you are is your DNA. So that will be coming. Yes, dear.
Okay, so this will be the last time that I interrupt, but only because it's you and I, we had talked about this, and I don't want you to miss any points. In Uganda, I know that you read about the women not receiving hospital services, but it clearly stated also in that article that they cannot buy or sell, and that was the quote that they used. We can quote that if you were to read that sentence. They are not able to buy or sell in Uganda without this biometric data. That being said, with the three options we have for identification, our regular licenses without a star that expire when they expire, which will allow us to drive until they expire. But they are encouraging you to now go to the real ID, which will be mandatory. And the real ID is just basically carrying over your information from your license, but now it's going into, I think, like a worldwide database at this point for tracking purposes. Now, the enhanced ID stands out from the other two because it incorporates biometrics. And that means, but we know that it's going beyond retina scans, fingerprints, facial recognition. This will eventually incorporate whether or not you have received, first of all, you won't be able to get an enhanced ID unless you have the COVID vaccine.
Right.
Now you can, right now you can, but just know that the enhanced ID equals biometrics, and they will tell you that there are biometrics that are kept in a database with the enhanced, not so with the real ID, and obviously not with your current license. So
again, from the Uganda article from RARE, those who don't oblige to the government's mission of information gathering will be unable to transact business, according to Ugandan Foreign Affairs Minister General Hehe Odongo, I guess. And come 2024, he says, we will have new national identity cards with enhanced features. We want to have a card which will be used to transact business across the board. That's obviously the buying and selling that Kathleen was mentioning there. Again, I stress, when they cite dates, forget about it. Forget about the dates. The dates are there to give people a false sense of security. To say, oh, that's a year out. That's 2 years out. There's no sense of urgency. I don't need to be concerned about it. It isn't here yet. Any of these things can be implemented virtually overnight. The technology exists. The technology's in place. If tomorrow in the United States, by executive order of the president could issue an order that says, everyone's DNA must be sampled, collected into a database, a national database. And the only way that you can buy and sell, the only way that you can move about, have any freedom of liberty, is identification verified by the sequencing of your DNA. That's what it'll be. This whole thing about PCR testing for COVID has all been about building out the infrastructure for sequencing everyone's DNA. Yes, in the vaccine scenario, there is luciferase, which can be scanned and detected for. That would prove vaccination. But to prove who created you, in what image are you now? Are you Homo novus? Or are you God's new creation as one who was saved by the shedding of DNA by Jesus Christ? What creation are you? To what creator are you pledging your allegiance? Now, Satan is not creating life. He's altering that which already existed. But he's trying to mimic, trying to role play as God, the creator. Okay. Let's take a look at Moderna for just a moment. This comes out of ctvnews.com. And let me get a date. This is August 11th of this year. It's now the 12th. Headline: Moderna CEO says COVID vaccines will evolve. They choose their words specifically and carefully. Will evolve like an iPhone. Remember, Moderna stated back in early 2020 that they were delivering into human bodies an operating system. So, building upon that, your article says, forget taking two or three COVID shots a year. Remember, our expectation has always been they will come up with a singular final solution vaccine. This is why we talked about AlphaFold 2. This is why we talked about Hexapro and RNA and the microneedle array patch. Single solution vaccine formula with a single solution delivery method, the patch. Forget taking two to three COVID shots a year. Moderna hopes to roll out a single dose annual booster to cover the coronavirus, the flu, and another common respiratory virus within the next 5 years. As COVID-19 continues to mutate, Moderna will need to keep updating the vaccines that turned it into a global household name while trying to make it more convenient. See, problem, reaction, solution. It's always under the banner of convenience. We've been screaming this for years. They create the problem and the solution is offered as a convenience solution. There it is, right there. Trying to make it more convenient for consumers. The CEO estimated a timeline of 3 to 5 years for the new combined product and likened the development of the life-saving jab to that of a smartphone. He says, you don't get the amazing camera, amazing everything the first time you get an iPhone, but you get a lot of things, he said. A lot of us buy a new iPhone every September and you get new apps and you get refreshed apps. And that's exactly the same idea, which is you'll get COVID and flu and RSV in your single dose. Having recorded breakneck growth during the pandemic, Moderna is now under pressure to identify its next big frontier. The CEO believes the COVID-19 pandemic that helped the company rack up tens of billions of dollars in revenue and generate business in more than 70 markets globally could end as soon as this year. That doesn't mean the virus is going anywhere, he noted. I think we are slowly moving, if not already in some countries, to a world where all the tools are available and everybody can make their own decisions based on their risk tolerance. adding that he believed more people would choose to live with the virus, much like they do with the flu. The approach, however, will continue to vary greatly, such as among people who are immunocompromised or in countries like Japan, where it was common to wear masks even before the pandemic. He says there's always a 20% probability that we get a very nasty variant that drives very severe disease that has a lot of mutation. So the next big thing. He said, in addition to an annual booster, it's continuing to develop a personalized cancer vaccine. And I'm skipping through this a little bit. Okay. Anyway. So, you have an operating system, if you take the vaccine, in your body. And like any operating system, it's subject to upgrades and new applications. Remember about what we've presented last year and have continued since then about biosensors, biocomputing, and integrating the biology with computers, an interface between the human body and, as the patents point out, supercomputers. And as we've pointed out, the actual entanglement of the human brain with quantum computers. They needed an operating system. They needed to digitize the biology of the human body. That digitizing of the entire human body is their process, their mechanism for creating a new creation, Homo Novus. That flies in the face of God's process of creating a new creation, which was through his Son, Jesus Christ, who sacrificed himself. That was the route that God chose. The Antichrist, being a counterfeit copy of Jesus Christ, will not be sacrificed for humanity, not for salvation. The Antichrist will end up in the lake of fire. Satan will be bound and thrown in the lake of fire. And all those that have taken the mark of the beast will end up in the lake of fire. So his attempts to be Christ-like through the Antichrist certainly, obviously, will fail within God's plan. So it's much like a shortcut on the part of Satan. There is no Christ-like figure that is sacrificed that saves humanity. It's the opposite. It condemns humanity. That's the only way Satan could operate. There's no opportunity, no ability on his part to do anything benevolent for humanity. He makes a lot of promises to the Bill Gates and the Faucis and the Schwabies and so forth and so on. But they're already condemned to hell. Every one of them. They just will not admit it to themselves. So let's kind of go to a big picture here. You're all familiar with the transhumanist agenda and the individuals like Ray Kurzweil that push transhumanism. I considered that label transhumanism to be Model T technology compared to what we've been looking at with respect to the DNA modification, the biology, the digitizing of biology. Transhumanism as a scenario is really old technology. So I don't use that as a label, as a descriptive. was the whole motivation for it? What was the end point? What was the exit strategy in transhumanism, which is now manifesting as genetic modification? Well, Satan in his hubris, and those that he has convinced, his minions, they really believed that they could achieve immortality. They really believed that by achieving immortality through merging of human biology with technology, with machines, with computers, now we have the digitized biology interfacing with computers, that immortality would be a path, a route, to use a football term, an end run around God's judgment. They really believed that if they were not subject to death, they were not subject to God's wrath. Talk about being delusional. Okay. UC Berkeley. This is out of nature.com. I'll hold that one. I'm going to go to the news coverage of this. This is from CaliforniaNews.com. Headline from August 8th. New breathable COVID-19 therapy, quote, hacks. They choose their words carefully and specifically, right? Hacks. Digitized biology, injected operating system, evolve that operating system like an iPhone, hacks, viral replication machinery. Scientists at the University of California, Berkeley have created a new COVID-19 therapeutic that could one day make treating SARS-CoV-2 infection as easy as using a nasal spray for allergies. The therapeutic uses small snippets of synthetic DNA. It has always been about the DNA. It will continue to always be about the DNA. The therapeutic uses small snippets of synthetic DNA to glue the genetic mechanisms that allow SARS-CoV-2 to replicate within the body. In a new study published online in the magazine Nature Communication, in this study, the team shows that these small snippets called antisense oligonucleotides, also known as ASOs, are highly effective at preventing the virus from replicating in human cells. When administered nasally, these ASOs are also effective in preventing and treating COVID-19 infection in rats and hamsters. All right, I'll cut to the chase. We'll put this in the magazine in September. This is research and development. This is years away. They're still with rats and hamsters. They are not even close to beginning trials with humans, okay? But I wanted to bring it to your attention just to show you another example of what's going on, what mechanisms they're trying to create for these new vaccines. But here it is, synthetic DNA. We've been talking about the synthetic SARS-CoV-2 and the synthetic vaccines resulting from that synthetic virus. They're going to continue down that road of genetic modification. That's the point, that's the takeaway of sharing this article with you, okay? If the treatment proves to be safe and effective in humans, the ASO technology could be easily modified to to target other RNA viruses. The research team is already exploring a way to use it to disrupt the influenza virus, which also has pandemic potential. All right, anyway, they are hacking the DNA and RNA codes of genetic information. I'm just picking out from the story here. These are acting like molecular, excuse me, the DNA-like molecules, such as molecular Velcro, excuse me, are viruses and cells that are programmed to stick to specific sequences of RNA. You know about integrating genetic material into DNA and RNA. That's what this is about. Therefore, my expectation as this gets developed, and I've read the actual peer-reviewed paper in Nature, changes the DNA. It's inescapable. It can't do otherwise, biologically speaking. It changes the DNA. So it's another example of the mark of the beast. Now, this one I doubt will ever see the light of day. They won't bother with it. They don't need a nasal spray. They don't need to go through all the time and effort and money and phase 3 trials. They've already got the microneedle array patch. Okay. Now, I am going to run a little bit short tonight on the live stream. We will have another live stream tomorrow, Saturday. Reason being is, again, the fire department, we have another training session for Sunday night. It's mandatory. I don't have a choice. As a volunteer, I always have a choice, but I don't have a choice. I need to be there on Sunday night, and therefore we are going to host our live stream tomorrow night. I want to show you something behind me on the desk here. I don't know if you can see all this. Let me just hold the camera up. Let's just be very low tech. Okay, you can see some of the papers on my desk. Well, what does that mean? Well, Kathleen's been doing a lot of research. I was taking a nap today because we were up very late last night. In the meantime, she was doing some great research. We are already on that table laying out the documentation for September's Entangled magazine. I'm not going to get into what that primary topic is. It's going to be very technical. We're going to do a deep dive. We will do some live streams preceding the publication of the September issue. And we'll do those deep dives and we'll talk about it. We'll translate it, we'll put it together, we'll package it. But this is another smoking gun. Let me just put it that way. Not trying to hype things up or be sensational, but she has dug up some remarkable information. It's a continuation of some research that we published in June of 2020. In that time frame, May or June, right around there. So that is going, what we're going to present in September will build upon that. We'll be more specific. I'll cite the magazine issues so you can read the background information. But we've talked about this in live streams since 2020, so it'll be very familiar to you. But this is new information. This is new mechanisms in the development of vaccines for SARS-CoV-2. This is getting into discovering more about what is actually in the list of ingredients, so to speak, for these vaccines, because they're not telling us the whole story. And you've seen that pattern here. of revelation after revelation through the Holy Spirit, revealing more and more about what really are the components, the ingredients, the active ingredients in these vaccines, and where did these active ingredients come from? Where did they originate from in terms of their natural, if you want to put it that way, their natural, their God-created point of origin? Where did they get it from? And then how do they manipulate it and then apply it in its new format with respect to COVID-19? So we're going to, the goal here is to publish the magazine on time. What a concept. Publish the magazine on the first of the month. See, I have a little phrase I'll share with you in closing, okay? Because we are going to end a little bit early tonight. And maybe this doesn't sound very nice, but I'm sure all of you have experienced this. You ask someone to provide a service, or you are transacting business in a store or in a restaurant. And it's a very simple transaction, very simple thing to do. Or you hire somebody to come and fix something for you or install something, whatever it is. You know, we have expectations as to a level of performance on the part of our fellow human beings when we pay them to do something, when we purchase something from them. Well, when that level of expectation of performance falls, and falls dramatically below your standard of expectation of performance, here's what I think of. Here's what I say to myself. Not to the person, but to myself. How hard is, capital letters, emphasized, big bold print, how hard is your job? Now, I'm going to pick on McDonald's years ago. It's probably why I have two stents in my heart. But when I used to go to McDonald's or other drive-thrus and buy a hamburger, like all the rest of us, invariably, something's missing. You pull away from the drive-thru window and you pull up in the parking lot and open up your little bag and you're taking inventory. It could be something as simple as they didn't put any napkins in there, or they forgot to put the straw, or they forgot the salt, or, hey, there aren't any fries in this bag. And then you have to go through the grief of going back, telling them the order's wrong. If it's just napkins or a straw, you just, you know, forget about it. But if the fries are missing, or as Clara used to say, where's the beef? Where's the beef? It's so aggravating when the simplest of tasks just cannot be completed. So with this new creation of Homo Novus, lower your expectations of humanity, I guess is my message. Because their behavior is already changing, their attitude is already changing, their performance is changing. We're seeing it. I'm not just talking about being frustrated with, you know, retail service or any of that. I'm talking about across the spectrum, people delivering a service or providing a product to you that you're purchasing. The whole system's crumbling. Because people, the new creation, are not thinking as they were designed to think. And their thinking will continue to degrade. That doesn't please me. I'm sure it doesn't please you. But in this discussion of supply chain collapse, it's not just the articles. It's not just the goods. It's not just the delivery services. It's the humans involved in the supply chain that are also collapsing. So be prudently prepared. Okay? Because the new creation of Homo Novus is collapsing. But it's all part of God's plan. He's in control. We have been recreated in His image. Because it's always, always been about the DNA. God bless you all and good night.